Welcome to the podcast. I am photographer Sid Caesar.
I'm designer Dave Say.
And welcome on this lovely Monday, March 31st, last day of March.
Last day of March.
2014. Tomorrow is April Fool's Day.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh.
And we're 4 days away from my birthday.
Well, I think that calls for a celebration.
Probably. I don't know what, though.
4 days from your birthday?
Yeah.
So your birthday is on April 3rd?
Fourth.
Fourth.
5 days from my birthday.
Okay. That's Groundhog Day review goal day
four.
Me. Number, yeah, it's on 4-4.
Yeah.
Then okay. After that's 5-5, and then 6-6.
Et cetera, so, et cetera.
Yeah, I should look at those and see if I got anything done.
So we didn't do last week's episode because I was gone. I took a vacation. Sarah and I went down to Washington, D.C., District of Columbia.
Capital.
Yes, for the week. We'd never been down there.
Never?
Never been down.
Never,
never been to Washington. Not even in like school.
Did you go to Maryland and have crab cakes and watch Barry Levinson movies?
No, we didn't. But we also, this was also our first time using Airbnb.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome.
How was the place?
It was really nice. So Airbnb, for those who don't know, it's like they've democratized like bed and breakfast places to stay, like hotel
yep.
type things.
Yep.
And it's a website, and it's just people that have space that they want to rent, like short-term renting. And you can rent, like some people will rent a whole house. Some people will rent like a floor of their apartment. Some people will rent just a room. And then you just like go in, you enter in like where you're going to be and then a price range. And that comes up with all these different people that it was fantastic. So we picked this place and we did Sunday night through Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this really nice young couple that lived like 10 minutes from the National Mall.
Wow.
10
minutes walking?
No, it was about a 10-minute drive.
Okay.
And then it was about a 30-minute, 35-minute bus ride. And they were really nice. And it was basically like a basement apartment. And it had its own private access, and we had our own private key. We had our own separate entrance. It was really nice. And we got there, and he was really – the guy that was renting the place out was really cool because he was just like, you know, we're upstairs. He's like, if you need us – he's like, just come up and get us. He's like, if you don't, he's like, we won't bother you.
Hmm.
So it was really nice. So like we saw him – not a lot. We saw him like that night, and then I think there was a night where we asked him to crank the heat up a little bit, and that was pretty much it. The rest of it, like if he, you know, like I text messaged him for his internet, you know, password and stuff like that. So it was really good. So he like, they left us alone if we wanted to.
Yep.
It was really nice. And we were, the first 2 days we drove down to the National Mall, and we found like a day parking thing.
Yeah.
And then on the third day we bought a bus pass and we thought we would try the bus thing. But that turned out not to work because I thought you could buy one pass and I'd be able to like get on the bus and scan it and then hand it to Sarah.
Yeah.
And the way that they've got it, you can only use it at once at a time.
Okay.
So it's like I've got a bus pass now. It's got like $8 on it or something like that.
Yeah.
So we did that. And then the fourth day we were there, we went to the National Zoo. So we drove there and that was about a 20-minute drive.
Yeah.
But it was awesome. We didn't do everything. There was stuff that I still want to go back and do. Like we didn't get to do the Holocaust Museum.
Mm.
We did National Archives. We saw the Magna Carta. We saw the Constitution, like all
wow.
that crazy stuff. We did a couple of the American History Museums. The second day we did the Air and Space Museum. And that took just about all day.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a lot bigger. It's heavily packed. There's a lot of stuff in you know, it's kind of a big space, but they've got giant planes hanging from ceilings and stuff, which
yes.
is really, really
yes.
So that was really nice. It was a lot of walking. It was so much walking.
Huh.
We got a lot of walking, and I was kind of upset because Sarah wants me to get one of those Fitbits.
Yep.
And I was kind of upset. She was like, "Oh, if you had gotten this before, she's
think
like,
of
we could attract." Yeah, she's
done.
Like, "Think of all the stuff we could attract." I was like, "Ah." Yeah. But we did a lot of a lot of walking.
Uh-huh.
But it was good. It was really, really. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And just to, you know, I'd never been down there. We went to the Lincoln Memorial. We sort of did this big. The first day we did this big walk around of the monument, and you know, we walked. You could see the White House off in a distance, and then we did like we did the Korean Memorial and the Vietnam War Memorial and the FDR Memorial and all those memorials and stuff. So that was kind of cool.
Did you see the Muppet thing?
It wasn't really a display. It was when you go into the National Archives, the American History Museum. There's a small display they had set up, and it had a couple of Fraggles, and it had Bert and Ernie, and it had Oscar the Grouch. but it was like part of a wall thing. It was like part, it was like one of the, in the main room, it was just this like glassed wall. And then Miss Piggy was in another exhibit that talked about like the last 50 years of American history or something like that. So it wasn't like this. I was thinking like maybe I'd get a chance to see like all 27 that had been recently acquired.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I didn't. And then I couldn't really. And it was, so it was all right. I mean, it's good to see them. Like the Bert and Ernie thing, I got a little, almost a little teary just because it just felt like they were like, you know, they were there. They were right there. And you could see like where they had been like used so much that they started to have like at the mouth joints, they were starting to fray a little bit. Like they just, like, oh, that's crazy, you know?
Yeah.
So it was kind of like looking at real movie stars.
Yep.
But they weren't really movie stars. So it was, yeah, it was kind of nice. It was kind of nice.
Yeah.
And then.
So you were there till Thursday?
Yeah, we left Sunday. We drove all day. We stopped in Connecticut and saw a friend. We got there Sunday night, and then we stayed until Friday morning. We got up and left. Yeah, Thursday we went to the zoo, and then Friday.
So you're exhausted.
So yeah, Saturday like we got back. We left Friday. We stopped in Connecticut again to see the same friend, and we didn't get home until like almost 1 o'clock Saturday morning. And then this weekend we didn't do anything. We just laid around, like just slept and caught up on sleep and unpacked stuff.
So how long does it take to drive down? It's like a full day of driving to get
It's about 7.5 hours.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
And for some reason, I thought it would be much longer.
No. Well, I guess if you, like on the way back, we like on the when we left, we stopped at a bunch of antique stores because we figured, you know, we had most of the day to just kind of take our time.
Yeah.
But because we stopped at so many places during the day, we hit the George Washington Bridge at exactly 5:10 p.m.
Oh, what was it like?
And everything was fine up until the second you get to the George Washington Bridge. And the minute you go through like the little easy pass section to get to the bridge, it was just a cluster. Like it was just completely locked. And so from the it took us to go from the George Washington Bridge to where my buddy lives in Southport, Connecticut. It took like an hour and a half to get there. It was just like, it was just locked up.
Wow.
So that was a little irritating, but that was the only time we really hit any major traffic. The whole way down on that Sunday, we didn't hit any at all. It was just nice and smooth.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that was kind of cool.
For some reason, I thought it took like a day and a half.
But no,
it's been
no.
a long time since I've done that drive. The last time was when I was driving, when I lived in Florida, I drove, when I was moving to Florida, I drove from Rochester, New York to Florida. And that took me, I think, 2 days or 2.5 days.
Yeah, if you go like nonstop, I think we drove to Florida once when I was really little, and I think it was 24 hours. Like it takes 24 hours to drive down.
Yeah,
so that's like basically 2 full days.
Hmm.
Yeah, and then to drive to North Carolina, usually it takes us about 12 hours to get down there.
Okay,
we've done that trip a whole lot of times. I had a friend that drove out to Minneapolis. I think that took him 24 hours.
Huh.
Like he just went nonstop.
Yeah. The longest I've driven east-west has been to Chicago.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It was a long drive.
Yeah, it was pretty long.
Yeah.
And we were moving my friend Bevan's car from New Hampshire to his brother's house in Chicago.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was pretty interesting.
We
detoured through Canada, and then I realized we didn't have the passports. Or the registration for the car.
Oh.
But nothing happened.
No?
No. I guess we were responsible-looking Asian Americans. Not smuggling anything.
We're not taking care of that. Oh, honestly, yeah. I'm used to the drives
just
now.
Just his car.
In 2002, Sarah and I drove across the country. So, like everything compared to that now is like whatever. That's 7 hours. It's, you know, it's like we spent a month driving.
A month. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool. And then I found out while we were down there. The new issue of The Hippo came out.
Oh, yes.
And they were talking about, it was the 2000 and, what's this year? 14, the 2014 Reader's Choice things. And I found out that I had been nominated for honorable mention for this year's runner-up. So basically third place for Best Visual Artist.
Well, congratulations.
So thank you very much. So thank you. Oh, yay! Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. So that makes 5 years.
5 years.
That's 5 years running.
So you should do something awesome this year to commemorate it.
Hopefully. Maybe.
Why haven't you done the zombie shoot yet?
The zombie shoot?
Yeah.
What's the zombie shoot?
You love zombies so much. I'm surprised you haven't done a zombie shoot.
Well, I know. I have to spend more time on my personal work. I have an idea that I'm trying to do that once it gets warmer, it's just been too cold out.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool to hear.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Keeps me motivated a little bit.
Yeah.
That was nice. So, and what else did we do while we were down there? Oh, so while we were down there, I brought very minimal camera equipment because I have a tendency to, even if it's a vacation, I lug all kinds of junk with me. So I tried to keep it very minimal. I wanted to sort of be in the moment. And I just brought a camera, and basically all I brought was that Petzval lens that Lomography gave me to review and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I tried to primarily shoot just more test shots with that and everything like that. And that was pretty good. So I've got another handful of ones. I'm just going to send them over and be like, here's a picture of Sarah standing in front of this national monument and that kind of stuff. Took a picture of a leopard at the National Zoo. But mostly it's just pictures of Sarah standing in front of things that I thought would make really interesting backgrounds. Uh-huh. So that was kind of cool. And they put up their first interview / article thing about me and my thoughts, initial thoughts on the lens. They put up last week before.
Oh, yeah.
So that's pretty good. And it was, I tried to get long and extensive. And I noticed one thing that they corrected was on the test lens that they sent me, the focusing rack, the little knob where you focus, it's really loose. Mm. And any tilt of the camera, like forward or backward, it just racks the focus completely out. And
that's terrible.
So I tried to concentrate on that a lot, and they responded to me, and they said, we cut some of that because we've actually, in the final release of the lenses, we've actually corrected that issue. So that was pretty cool.
Good.
Yeah. What else? So that was it, really. I took a few pictures. I didn't take a lot of pictures. I took some cell phone pictures. But I tried to more or less just sort of like be in the moment rather than be stuck behind a camera the whole time.
Yeah, that's good.
Which was pretty cool.
So do you feel like a different person?
No.
No, not even a little bit?
No.
Because 2 weeks ago, you were a different person. Now, no. 2 weeks from that,
Washington,
you've had a trip.
Washington.
You've driven down to our nation's capital.
Yeah, but I can't stand politics. So, like, you get in there and it's like, argh. But it was nice to see. I saw the Magna Carta, like this old piece of paper, and same with the Constitution, just all these old pieces of paper.
Yeah. Did you take off your hat?
Yes.
Yep.
I did. I thought that was, pay a little respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
But did it was kind of cool. I actually liked, I really liked when we walked around all the monuments, the memorials, the Korean one. I had no idea what the Korean memorial looked like.
Uh-huh.
I was just completely blown away with it. I thought it was absolutely gorgeous.
Really?
And it's just these sculptures. Yeah. It's just sculptures of a platoon, and they're all sort of walking in rank, and some of them are kind of like looking around and stuff. And then where they set it, there's all these ferns that are like growing up from the ground and stuff. So it kind of looks like they're in a jungle.
Oh, wow.
It was really well done. Mm. I took a couple pictures. I was just like, wow, I had no idea. And my dad was in the Korean War, but he never talks about it,
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, so I was trying to make that sort of association a little bit.
Right.
But it's nice. The Vietnam War Memorial was nice.
Yeah.
We got to see the Lincoln Memorial. That was pretty cool. Big, giant Abraham Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
Franklin Delano Roosevelt Memorial was really nice. Really big. I forgot. Yeah. It's like you forget like how long he was president.
Yeah. It was like, it's
like four terms
yeah,
or something
four
like
terms,
that.
But he died in the last
Yeah.
He term.
Died in the last yeah. one. So that was kind of cool. And it was just a really nice giant like sculpture that you can walk through. And there's all these different parts of his life that they talk about. And that was really cool. Hmm. Yeah. So I thought that was good. Hmm. It was a good trip.
Great.
Yeah. And then before I left, our buddy Kentakoka, who was on the last podcast.
Yep.
He actually let me borrow his PlayStation 3 because I had a little thing where I did a trade and the PlayStation 3 I received was busted, and it was this whole. So he was like, "Here, and I wanted one because I wanted to play this game called The Last of Us, which is this post-apocalyptic world ended minimal survivors kind of thing.
Yep.
And so I started that before we left, and then I just finished it this weekend. And it was so good that the minute the game ended, I started the game over again. It was fantastic. I love that game.
Huh.
It's amazing.
I'll have to borrow his.
It is absolutely amazing. It's such a good game. And it's kind of a stealthy zombie thing, only instead of zombies, there was one episode in Planet Earth, the documentary, where they talked about this fungus that gets inside animals or insects. And then in the show, they showed how it gets inside the brain of ants and it takes over their brain and it makes them like climb to the highest point possible. And then this fungus grows out of their head. And then like these little pods, these little seeds, yeah. the little spores spread. And evidently the people that made this game saw that and they were like, that's the perfect thing. Yeah. And so the premise of the game is that this cordyceps gets in people's heads and just destroys the world, and then this takes place 20 years after that. So it's like, and it's cool because you start in Boston, and it's Boston that's been basically reclaimed by nature. So like everything is just falling apart, and there's trees everywhere, and it's just awesome. And then you travel throughout the country and stuff. But the whole first act was all in Boston, and there was a scene where I was actually going through the Museum of Fine Art.
Oh well,
yeah, and you can see it. Like they did it to model, so it was like, oh, I know that room. Wow. Like, but the room is all crushed in, and like it was awesome. It was really, really neat.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was very cool. Huh. And the voice acting is fantastic, and the story is really good. It's got a fantastic ending. Very impressed with this game.
Yeah. My impression of it was when I saw the demos was it looked like a very seamless experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, it was really well done. The story was really well. It's basically just a relationship story between this guy and this girl who at the beginning of the game they meet and they really don't know each other.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the game, which cuts like a year and a half later, like just this tight bond that has formed. You know, it was really well done. I was really, really impressed.
Yeah.
I can see why it's getting all kinds of awards and stuff.
It seems to be affecting television now too. Have you noticed all these shows popping up that have little girl protagonists?
Right.
There's this new one from Bad Rope from J.J. Abrams' company called Believe. No. So it has the kind of feeling that Heroes did when it first came on the scene. Uh-huh. If you remember that,
yeah,
you know, what was it? Save the cheerleader, save the
yes,
world.
Exactly.
you know, it looks well cast. I'm intrigued by it, but it seems like this is a meme going around the creative television scene, mm-hmm. which is good.
They want to cash in.
I guess they're gonna have like strong female characters.
You need it's about time.
Yeah. I still haven't seen Frozen yet.
I haven't either.
I've been tempted to go to the sing-along to see what that's like. Have you heard about these? I think they started this with the reissue of The Little Mermaid. But I guess you go there and people bring their families and they sing along with the entire thing with this bouncing. I have no idea what it's like, but it sounds either really terrible or really something. It seemed like an experience that would be cheap to acquire.
Yeah,
and you'll then comment about later.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we've missed so many movies at the theater recently. I haven't seen the new Muppets movie yet.
Oh, I haven't seen the old one.
Oh, the new Captain America movie is supposed to be coming out, and everybody's been saying that's supposed to be really good.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, I don't know if Joe Johnson is doing it again or not, but
Joe Johnson, really?
Didn't he do the first one?
Well, I had forgotten that Joe Johnson was doing movies.
Yeah. I thought he did The Rocketeer, right?
Did he do The Rocketeer?
I thought.
Like he was the director who was sponsored by George Lucas.
Did he used to work at
Because
like
he used
ILM
to be Yeah, Joe Johnson used to design the spaceships for the Star Wars movies. He was one of the key designers in I think the first and second one.
Okay.
And I think he designed all the Imperial stuff, so the TIE fighter design, the TIE bomber. Yeah, so I know that's where I know his name from, and I was surprised to learn that he had become a film director.
Yes. Yeah, what has he done? He did The Rocketeer. He did Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Really?
He did Jumanji. He did Jurassic Park 3.
What?
He did Hidalgo. He did Captain America. But it doesn't look like he's done the second one. I don't know who did the second one.
Huh. Well, good for him.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I wonder what Nihilus Rodus Jamero is up to. He designed a lot of the cool stuff in Star Wars.
Huh.
Some of my favorite stuff.
Comic book movies. Jesus.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So what else is going on?
No, I think that kind of taps me out. Just recovering from the trip, really. Mm. What have you been up to? What'd you do while I was gone?
Oh, I've been so busy. I've been blogging about this idea about... I have this thing that I'm calling fog brain. You know, it's like when you're trying to do something you're supposed to do, but your brain's all foggy and you can't concentrate. So I've been trying to figure out what the factors are that contribute to that.
To fog brain?
To foggy brain or brain fog, fog brain, you know, general fuzziness.
Yep.
And so it's been very interesting Sometimes it's I'm actually sleepy or I'm actually dehydrated. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just that, you know, part of me knows I need to do this work, but the rest of me says, no, I don't want to do that.
Right.
I want to go outside. I want to do something else. I want to eat all the cookies.
All the cookies.
So it's been an interesting exercise in mindfulness.
Yeah.
And I've been trying three rituals to help with that.
Okay.
The first one is the memory ritual is what I'm calling it,
mm-hmm.
which is a way of remembering what I'm supposed to do, because sometimes I'll forget. And it's difficult to sometimes just remember what that is.
Yeah.
You know, if I haven't written it down, or even if I haven't, it's that state just before you know that you're in for a busy week, or you know you have a lot of things to do, but which thing should I do right now?
Mm-hmm.
Where do I start with that? Just getting to the point where you know what to do.
Yeah.
Trying to reduce the friction, the resistance that's involved with that.
Yeah.
And so coming up with a procedure for that. So it's remembering what the hell I'm supposed to be doing. That's the mental, the memory ritual. Then there's the mental ritual, which is, all right, I know what I need to do. How do I start doing it?
Yeah.
And that's always a big challenge for me, especially if I'm in the mood not to do any work.
Yeah.
Which is most of the time. So is there something I can do? So I tried this meditation. I started, let me clear my mind. Let me let every thought drop away from my conscious sphere. And it works really well sometimes, but there's a kind of tension between the alertness and the relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
It's very easy for me to just fall asleep if I'm doing this, because it's very relaxing. At least I have that part down.
Yeah.
But then there's the part that, okay, I'm relaxing to a certain point, so I'm alone in my head with the problem I need to start. And if I've done the memory ritual correctly, I know what that is.
Yeah.
And then when I'm alone in my head with it, I'm stuck with it. It's like, all right, it's like you're stuck in a car ride for like 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to do? It's whatever is in the car. You know, that's what I'm going to be playing with. You know, it's going to be that belt buckle or something.
Yeah. Like
so I'm hearing the problem. Well, I might as well start working on it. And then what happens then, if I can get to that point, then I can work for like, you know, between 2 to 8 hours and just go. I'll be in flow.
Yep.
But getting to the flow is the problem. So I've been trying to come up with ways, this mental ritual, as mm-hmm. I'm describing it. Is there a set of steps or a set of thoughts? Do I need to clear my mind in a different way? So I've been blogging about that a lot. And it's been helpful. I've learned a few things about myself.
Hmm.
Mostly this is because there's that big UCLA project I'm working on.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had to go really deep into the programming and like, when I started this maybe 4 weeks ago, I was finding it really difficult to get into that programmer mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But it was for different reasons. Mm. I thought it was because I was so rusty at doing programming. I was never like I haven't been programming continuously for like 25 years and I have all my tools set up and stuff like that. But last week was the week when suddenly the resistance didn't seem so bad. It's like I got used to it. And it reminded me a lot of when I first started going to the gym.
Yeah.
Well, the first time I went to the gym, I didn't know anything about exercise or working out. you get on this thing, the stair machine, and you're on the stair machine for about 30 seconds before you think, okay, this is enough. I should stop. But they had one of the personal trainers there who was leading me through the whole exercise process so I wouldn't kill myself or have a heart attack.
Yep.
And he said, no, keep going. And I kept going. So at the 90-second mark, okay, I'm ready to stop. No, I keep going. And so I was on there thing for 5 minutes, which seemed like forever, and then stopped. And the interesting thing was along the way, each of those times my body told me to stop.
Yeah.
Because I thought, and I was in the habit at that point of listening to my body, thinking that, my body would never lie to me. It was totally lying. It was like I could keep going. I could go for 5 minutes and I wasn't dead. And then I discovered, you know, there's these various points when you're working out. So there's the first 5 minutes or the first 2 minutes, then the first 5 minutes. And then we get to the 10-minute mark of continuous exertion.
Yep.
Suddenly something changes and your body's like, all right, I'm in this thing now.
Huh.
Maybe it takes that long for your body just to get all the chemicals swirling around the right way.
Yeah.
It says, all right, I can go now. You can go for an hour. And it's a kind of a nice pacing thing. And then you get into sort of, for me, it's not exactly euphoric, but it's a sustainable motion thing. And you start to sweat, and then like parts of your body that you didn't know were there start saying, like, hey, I'm here.
What
I'm
are you doing?
What's going on? This is great. Yeah, we should do this more often. And then afterwards, it's so, you know, going back, I had become used to a certain level of mental exertion with this programming stuff. And this is a pretty big system for me to be tackling.
Mm-hmm.
It's there's a lot of moving parts. I have the overall outline in my head down pretty well, but then there's a specific implementation bits of things. You know, for example, like if you're imagining a certain kind of photo shoot, you probably imagine why you would need this kind of lighting, and I'd like this effect if it's going to be a high key shoot. I want good depth of field, so I need to be at least this much far back and use this lens at this aperture. And then you get to the thing, and the field's, you know, muddy. Or, like, there's this big tree in the way. And then there's all these practical things you need to figure out. Like, oh, no, I need this adapter. And, like, oh, these batteries aren't – all these things you need to think about. And then you had to, like, go through it. And either it's really irritating you have a bad shoot, I imagine.
Yeah.
Or you figure – you just work through it. And then over okay, next time I'll be better, and I'll be able to deal with this.
Yep.
And the next time comes around, and you have a great shoot.
Yep.
It's been like that with this programming project. So I've been learning all these new tools, new ways of doing it. And last week was the week when enough things came together and said, you know, before I started this, I wasn't as good as I thought at this, but now I'm better. And I can tell. And this is kind of awesome.
Yep.
And so, like, this has improved my attitude toward the whole thing.
Hmm.
And, you know, improving my attitude has been a goal of mine this year as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because attitude seems to make everything either impossible or possible.
Yes.
And it's so much... You know, there was. Did you see that video about this guy in a fat suit picking up girls?
No.
This was kind of inspiring, and I'm not normally the person who looks at pickup videos. I didn't even realize this was a pickup video before. But this guy dressed up in a fat suit and says it's all about confidence. And he goes out, and he's this big roly poly guy, and he's like he has extra chins grafted on. It's a pretty effective looking thing. He's going up to girls. He's like absolutely confident, I guess, through his training or something like this.
Yeah.
And he's getting all these girls' numbers, and he's making them laugh and stuff like this.
Wow.
And you know, whether if it's staged, I don't know. I tend to think it's probably not.
Yeah.
But having confidence in yourself, it goes a long way, and attitude is part of that.
Yeah.
And so I've been inspired by that video. So, you know, I should try to be more confident like this. I should be more confident about who I am, what I like, and so forth. And this has unlocked an entire wave of different projects. Like
good.
This idea of making a cafe out of my living room. I guess we'll talk about that some other time. Well, I guess we get on. We have a new feature on the podcast, technically. We have the ability to play back live recorded sounds from Sid's computer.
That's right. So anytime we hear something sad now, we can always hear this sad trombone.
What else can we hear?
I don't know. Anytime we make bad jokes, we can do our little rim shot
That's
thing.
That's great, yep.
Basically anything that we can think of. Anything we can type into our search bar, we can come up with. But I only had three today. We figured we would start really soft. And not completely overuse it like a bunch
This opens up a few things, too. We can have pre-recorded music from musical guests now. We can play back excerpts and talk about it.
That's right.
We might be able to do some sort of call-in thing. You know, time shifted. So if you had a question, maybe you could leave it on some voice box. And we could play it back and then answer it.
That would be pretty cool.
As we're listening to it.
That'd be very cool.
Who knows? You know, there's all kinds of things that are possible now.
Yes.
So
everything is possible.
So
cool.
Yeah.
We'll have to figure out how to integrate that a little bit more next time.
Yeah, it's a work in progress.
Cool. All right. Well, I guess that's going to wrap it up for this Monday.
Yeah.
March 31st. Until next week, I am photographer Sid Caesar.
And this is designer Dave Say.
And we will see you all later.
Like about a minute of music left. Oh, GiveCamp is coming up. That's the coding for charity.
Yeah.
That's at the Microsoft New England Research and Development Center, aka the Nerd Center down at Memorial Drive in Cambridge. So I'll be doing that this weekend, Friday through Sunday. I'm volunteering as a designer this time instead of a developer. So that will be interesting.
Yeah. Oh, there it is.
There it is.
All right, we'll see you guys next week. Music, as ever, provided by Michael Bellar and the Azzas Ensemble. Follow him at michaelbellar.com because he's amazing. All right. See you next week.
Bye.